The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. The importance of the will of God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. I read, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." I take it again. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will." Take note of this part. "That ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." The first point that we want to address is, what is the will of God? Number one, the will of God is the preference of God. When we say preference, it means what you like over another thing. So the will of God is the preference of God. A man may like something to pursue a career, but God may prefer another thing. It is when you select what God prefers that we say you are walking in the light of the will of God. Number two, the will of God are the intentions of God. Anybody that gets a lawyer to put down a will for him or her is simply capturing his intentions on paper. And when that is captured and then it's made a legal instrument, then we say that it is a will. So the will of God are the intentions of God. Number three, the will of God is the plan of God. There is a wide plan for humanity, and there is also a personal plan for every individual. So each of us have the responsibility to understand and pursue what the plan of God is. The Bible says there are many devices in the heart of a man, but it is only the purpose of God that shall stand. In other words, it's only the will of God that shall stand. Amen. Oh, can I hear an amen? Amen. Number four, the will of God is the blueprint of God. The will of God is the blueprint of God. The blueprint is the acceptable pattern of God. It is the pattern that God would like to be replicated or duplicated for you. It is the plan on which God will look in order to reproduce what you must have. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? So I said, number one, the will of God is a preference of God. Number two, they are the intentions of God. Number three, it is the plan of God. Number four, the blueprint of God. Number five, the will of God are his thoughts and opinions. The will of God are his thoughts and opinions. The Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I have toward you. For they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end." And finally, the will of God is the purpose of God. So going over that is the preference of God, the intentions of God, the plan of God, the blueprint of God has to do with his thoughts and opinions, and finally the purpose of God. Now the will of God is in your best interest. There is no other will that is in your interest like the will of God. Nothing else comes close to the will of God, and nothing else supersedes this will. It is the most appropriate path that God has chosen to lead you on. In other words, anything else is unsuitable for that path. That means you are pursuing your own agenda, you are pursuing your personal will, you are pursuing your personal interest, and this does not overlap the will of God. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, this is a quotation from Psalm 40 verse 7. So Hebrews 10, 7 says, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." I take it again. "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." Before Jesus left the heavens to come to the earth to work the purposes of God as a Messiah, to fulfill the demands of salvation so that it is accepted in the sight of God, Jesus took time to look at what was written in the book. God has a volume of book, and all his will is captured in it. Because Jesus wanted to be obedient to the Father, he well acquainted himself with what was written in the volumes of that book. When presidents are elected into office, normally they will have an attorney general and they will have a team of lawyers that surround them, so each time they may be making references to the Constitution so they don't violate it. They can be unseated, and a vote of confidence, no confidence rather, can be passed against them if they don't take care to study what's in the Constitution so that they follow through. It is so important that as soon as you violate the Constitution and break it, the Constitution will break you and take you out of office. So Jesus, first of all, had to acquaint himself. He had to thoroughly study what was the will of God in the volumes of the book. And he said the things that were written, they were written about him. So once he had studied it, he came down from above and started fulfilling it, because the knowledge of the will was inside him. Unfortunately for us believers today, we are not interested in the word of God. We are not interested in reading it. We are not interested in studying it. We are not interested in ensuring we understand it. And we are not interested in following through so that our lives will become more meaningful than it is currently. So Jesus said he came to fulfill what was written in the volume of the book. So why did Jesus have to study this? Number one, because God has foreknowledge about things. So the foreknowledge God has about life and about humanity and about this world, God captured it in the volume of the book. Because of God's foreknowledge, he's able to predict the future about what will happen. So God, number one, has foreknowledge. Number two, based on that, he's able to predict the future. And that prediction is a decree. The Bible says God knows the end from the beginning. By the time God starts doing something, he knows the end. Can I hear an amen? A successful person in life must not just understand his calling and must not just understand what the will of God is, but must have this attitude of God that you know where God is leading you. Let me hear better. Amen. That kind of thing empowers you and makes you work hard toward your goal and towards your aspiration. So God has foreknowledge. Number two, God knows the end from the beginning. Number three, God decrees it ahead of time. And his decree is known as predestination. What God decrees leads to a certain destination. And that destination is your destiny. Destiny is what happens in the end. So God wants a good end for you. For I know the thoughts that I have toward you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected destiny. If you believe that there's an expected destiny for you, I'm sure you can clap very well. So in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, be ye not therefore unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, don't live in this world like a fool. Don't live in this world like one who hasn't got a sense of purpose. Don't live in this world thinking that you use your own ideas to succeed. God will give you supernatural ideas, but first of all, you must understand what his will for you is. Can I hear an amen? Abraham was 75 years old when he came to understand the will of God. Joseph was 17 years old when God revealed to him in a dream that he was going to be a ruler. David was 17 years old when he had that anointing upon his life and he slew Goliath. And he knew God had ordained him to be king. Jesus was 15 years old when he went into the temple, taken there first time. And his parents could not find him. They left. His parents too, they are wild though. You went with a child, then you left. Then afterwards you started looking for the child. At least you should know the child is not with you in the temple. Won't you know? But they left. Then they remember, oh, where is Kojo Jesus? And then they turned around and went back to look for him. By the time they got there, they asked, why have you taken your own path? And he said, don't you know that I must be busy about my father's business? Jesus had understood what the will of God was for him, and he had already started pursuing it at the age of 15. The earlier you understand the will of God, the better. But I have started with Abraham that at the age of 75, he took it upon himself when God revealed himself to him. And then he followed through with God beyond 100 until the purpose of God was fulfilled. It is not late yet. Oh, I said it is not late yet. Don't sign your death warrant. Don't begin to think that at this age I must die. If God hasn't said you will die, you will not die. I have seen the story of a man who was in coma for 30 years. If it's not time for you to die, you will not die. So don't live as if you are wasting your life on earth and hoping that you know, things will clear and come to normalcy and things will be fine. What is the will of God? What is the plan of God for you? What are the intentions of God? What is the blueprint of God for your life? You must go ahead and seek it and understand it. So let me say the next few points this way. Number one, know there is a will of God for you. You must know it. There's a will of God for everybody on this earth. Every human being on this earth, there is a will of God for you. Number two, seek it. In other words, seek the will of God. First of all, know it. Secondly, seek it, pursue it, find it, discover it. How do you seek it? You seek it. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. The Bible says, a man who has a desire separated himself and intermeddled himself with all wisdom and seeks till he finds. If a man has a desire to know the will of God, the first thing he does is to separate himself. He will separate himself from that which defiles. He will separate, or she will separate herself from worldliness, and he or she will separate themselves from anything that corrupts or anything that will mislead or misguide you. Can I hear an amen? So you separate yourself. Number two, that's Proverbs 18:1. You intermeddle with wisdom. You seek for wisdom. You desire for wisdom. You study the word for wisdom. The Bible says, let him that lacketh wisdom ask God, who giveth wisdom abundantly. So keep asking God for wisdom every day. But in order to grow in wisdom, you need to read the word. You need to study the word. You need to meditate on the word. You need to believe the word. You need to talk the word. And study the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God will tell you when to speak, when not to speak. When to act, when not to act. The wisdom of God will tell you what to do and what not to do. The wisdom of God will help you with the timings of God. And above all, the wisdom of God will give you guidance. So the Bible says you must intermeddle with all wisdom. So when we are teaching on love, intermeddle with it. When we are teaching on submission, intermeddle with it. When we are teaching on perseverance, teaching on faith, power, salvation, evangelism, intermeddle with it. We are teaching on prayer, and we are teaching on intercession, and we are teaching on patience, and we are teaching on meekness, and we are teaching on humility. The Bible says intermeddle with all this wisdom. Don't be picky and choosy. And you have a few scriptures in the Psalms that you are praying with. It is good, but it is not sufficient. Intermeddle with all wisdom, because one day God will raise you up and you'll be a leader of thousands, and you must have wisdom to attend to business. Oh, can I hear an amen? You may be a good man, but if you haven't got wisdom to manage a woman, you cannot keep a wife. You may be a pretty, lovely, sweet woman, but if you don't have wisdom to manage a man, you cannot keep your marriage. He will blame you, you will blame him. And you will play the blame game back and forth, back and forth. I've been a counselor. And sometimes you tell somebody to do this, that, You have to be submissive. The person said, what about the other person? Then I also say, when God told Abraham to go and sacrifice, undertake a three-day journey to sacrifice Isaac on the Mount of Moriah, Abraham did not say, what about Sarah? She's sitting in the house. She's not doing anything. What about Sarah? Won't she go to the other mountain? Is it only me that I have to fulfill this? No. There is a purpose of God for you. And when your obedience is established, God will open doors of blessings for it. That's it. That's it. Let the other person criticize. Let the other person condemn you. Let the other person insult you. Let the other person put all the blame on you. Don't respond. Please God. Please God. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So this business of I obey one, he must obey one. I obey two, she must obey two. Do your portion. When Jesus came, the world was doing another thing completely. But he alone came to fulfill the will of his Father, and he secured eternal redemption for you. And I think this is a good spot to clap. So it's not ken chelo komie keke bo chelo. No. It is about you. It is about what God wants to do in your life. Focus on your God and the purpose that God has for you. The other person may be purposeless, may not have a clue about the will of God. So don't depend on the other person. Otherwise, you will never mature into the purpose of God. Focus on what God has for you. Focus on achieving what God has for you. You may be single, you can achieve it. You may be married, you can achieve it. You may be divorced, you can achieve it. Focus on that. Let the insults come, but don't attend to them. They are just distractions. They are to take your attention away. So when a man has desire, you must have a strong desire. Don't exist in the kingdom of God like that. Don't just float in the house of the Lord. Have a desire to know the will of God. Don't joke with it. Number two, we've just said, intermeddle with all wisdom. There are tapes, as soon as you hear, you listen to. Some of you never listen to our tapes apart from the preaching in church. You never do. You want a phone so that you can send messages to others. Fine, there's nothing evil about that. But your priority must be to listen to the word of God. And there are certain messages you must listen to them 7 times, others 30 times, others 120 times. The message must be part of you. You must get to the stage where you can literally preach the message like your pastor. When you are praying, the message must flow out of it. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. So intermeddle with wisdom. Oh, as for me, I want somebody to come and marry me so that all my problems will be solved. No, problems don't get solved like that. As soon as he marries you, the problems increase. A man that is born of a woman, it's a few days, and his days are full of trouble. So the man who is coming to marry you, his days are full of trouble. You too, your days are full of trouble. Trouble meet trouble. Trouble squared. So nobody can marry you and solve all your problems for you. There's one deception. I want a child. My biological clock is ticking. So let me give myself to anybody so that he would do anything. Well, you will face the consequences. You will face the consequences. I don't know how it will come, but it can be very rough. It can be so tough if you don't take care. your mental health may be compromised. Don't joke with those things. Abraham veered off the will of God because of the suggesting of Sarah, and said, Abraham, I'm Sarah, my biological clock is ticking fast. If you don't take care, we will not get the child of the promise. So that is Hagar, our maid, have something to do with her to produce children. As soon as Abraham's body touched Hagar's body, one touch, Hagar was pregnant. Some of the things outside marriage and outside the will of God is one touch. And I do understand the young man. I said, Pastor, I only had sex with her once. Oh yeah. Your body is sharp. Somebody says Dr. Sharp. So you say you only had sex with her once. Then you said, oh, when I was discharging, I withdrew and discharged. But there's a seminal fluid that comes before you. It comes to flush the channel. Peradventure, there was a healthy semen inside. So intermeddle with all wisdom, wisdom on holiness, purity, about diligence, about work, intermeddle with wisdom. There are some that will not intermeddle with any wisdom after service. They just, and they've been doing this for years. They know what stories to tell to get money from people. It will come to an end very soon. If you seek the will of God, you'll be fine. You will be happy. Oh, I will come to the benefits of the will of God. You'll be fine. There will be difficulties in the beginning, but you override all of them. Oh, come on. Let me hear an amen. So intermeddle with all wisdom. And then it goes ahead to say, and you seek. The Bible teaches us how to seek. The woman who had 10 pieces of silver on her scarf, one dropped. She lit a lamp, she swept the room, and she sought diligently till she found. As for the will of God, you must find it. I say you must find it. You must discover it. Wherever it is, you must bring it into your life. You don't seek the will of God with dining table prayers. Father, bless this konkonte, bless the tilapia, and that's dining table prayers. Some people wake up early in the morning, and sometimes you are late, say, Father, protect me, take me out and bring me back. That's good. But seeking the will of God, Jesus prayed through the night to choose his disciples. Before he went to Gethsemane, he prayed through the night. So some want to be casual, lazy about prayers, and we must not encourage that lifestyle. Oh, Pastor, magbami. I know there's a purpose of God, for there's a destiny, but you must know the will of God first. Come on, put your hands. You must know it. You must know it. So, number one, I said, know there's a will of God for you. Number two, seek it. And number three, understand it. Understand it. Understand what it entails. Understand what it involves. Understand your role, your responsibilities. Understand what it is to train to get there. And to develop your skills, understand it. If you are called to be a marketer, understand the terrain of marketing. Understand the current global trends of marketing. And get on board and do things well so that you can take major companies and market them and charge them $500,000 on the side because you brought in 20 million people to them. If you are called as a pastor, you must know how to understudy. You must know how to pick a mentor. You must know how to pray. You must know how to study the word. You must know how to read biographies of people. You must know how to study and interpret the scripture. You must understand it. If you don't understand it as a doctor, you can't serve the public. Because there's a theory and there are practicals. So you study the theory and you're giving opportunity to apply. So you must know the diseases. You must understand the symptoms. You must know how it affects people when it's not attended to. And you must know the various kinds of interventions that are to be made. You must know which one requires surgery and recommend. You must know which one requires medication and what to start with and what to step up. You must understand it and understand the general field so that God will situate you and put you somewhere. So first of all, know the will of God. Know there's a will of God for you. Secondly, seek it. Thirdly, understand it. Understand it. There are many things that you would do that may not necessarily have much to do with the will of God in your life, but they prepare you towards the grounds. They give you some experience. They give you some exposure about what to do and what not to do. Am I hearing? I was an office assistant. When I finished my ordinary levels examination and I worked for some 3 years to 5 years or so. So God gave me that exposure, but that was not wholly the will of God. It was part of the process. Then I left that place to the university. Before I got to the university, there was a hold on admissions because some students had gone on demonstrations and the then political administration had frozen admissions into first year. So I went into acting. That's when I started writing poetry. So I acted on national television, on Ghana television for 1 year. So I have an acting career, but I still did not feel that I was called to act. I felt it was a stopgap measure to get something small, because there were no jobs and I had this gift, so I put it to use in church. I love to sing, so I was with the choir and I also led praise and worship, but I never concluded that God had called me for praise and worship. David started on the backside of the desert. He could have ended that God has called me to be a shepherd for animals, but he was looking beyond. When David slew Goliath, he was invited into the king's palace to be giving exposure to protocol and administrative processes. Later on, he became the army general, the prayer warrior. I have musicians who don't want to pray. I didn't hear an amen. I didn't hear an amen. I have musicians, when they say there's a ban on drumming and dancing, they won't come to church for the period. Oh yeah. Listen to me. David became the army general. There was no battle that he lost it. And if I were in his time, I'd say, you are called for the military. Stay there. But God had a purpose for him. I say God had a purpose for David. And he was gradually transitioning into it until he became the king of Judah. It didn't end there. Then he became the king of the whole Israel. And God will institutionalize the monarchy and bring Christ out of his lineage. Let's clap unashamedly. You are a minister of the gospel before a minister of worship. It is the gospel that you sing. It is the gospel that you preach. Can I say it again? You are first a minister of the gospel before you are a minister of worship. Ah. If you want to prosper, see the pattern properly. And situate yourself properly, like David, because he was a minister of God before he became a psalmist. The calling comes. The calling is there from birth. The other manifestations show up in various areas, but they may not necessarily be the whole thing. I didn't hear an amen. If you don't get the order right, you will find that as a musician, you don't go far. You don't go far. People sing, and then after some time, nothing happens, and you don't hear of them, and they just go down. You meet them in town, and they say, oh, yeah, yeah, that's it, yeah. But a minister of the gospel is there. He's there. He's there. I say he's there. So, first of all, know there's a will of God for you. Secondly, seek the will of God. Thirdly, understand it. And number four, walk in it. If you are a prophet, there are things that enhance the prophetic office. If you're a teacher, there are things that enhance the teaching office. If you're an evangelist, there are things that enhance the evangelistic office. A prophet must study the word to know the trend of prophecy in the Bible and to know how to prophesy in line with the word of God. The ethics of prophecy in the Bible, he must understand all. The prophet must have intermeddled with all wisdom, so he knows when to speak and when not to speak. Because it's not everything that is given to a prophet that he must stand publicly and talk about. There were messages Jesus gave to the three who were close to him, and he didn't say all in the public. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? So you're supposed to walk in it. As a teacher, you have to be sensitive to the direction of the Spirit like a prophet. What does God want my people to be taught? Number two, you get to the word. Number three, you pray about it so that God gives you the details and the direction of what he wants to do. Then number four, you go to the technical aspects of understanding the word, the root meaning, so you can break them down. Then number five, you come and preach it. So you're supposed to live that will of God, experience that will of God, walk in the light of the will of God. I remember Someone I was interviewing, he says, I'm a medical officer in order to fulfill a certain agenda. He said, my being a medical officer is a channel to show kindness to humanity. It's a channel, and he's a counselor to it. It's a channel to offer godly counsel to people. My being a medical officer is not an end in itself. It's the process of getting to the end. You are an accountant. It's a process of getting to the end. You're an architect, a tailor, a clothes designer, an auto mechanic, a trader in the market, a lawyer. It is part of the process to get you to the end. It's good to stand in court and speak, defend people and have a great name. But what are you to use that great name for in the kingdom of God? The will of God is such an important thing that when you miss it, you are only parading in life. When we were in the university, there were some students, there were some people who presented themselves as students, but they were not students. So they stayed with us, they lived with us, they went to the dining hall with us. In various conversations, political conversations, they were part of the people on campus. But they were not enrolled as university students. After 3-4 years, a batch graduated. They never graduated. They kept sleeping in the halls of residence. What I'm saying is that don't be like one of those people. Understand what the will of God is. And you won't go and fight for small properties in your house. There are some things the enemy will put there to destroy your life. You must know how to say no to some of them. And that God will raise you and give you your own. Can I hear an amen? So the next question we ask is, why did God establish the will of God? And this is the thesis of my message, the importance, the significance, the reason behind, the purpose of the will of God. Why did God establish the concept of the will of God? Can I hear an amen? Yes. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, or you are not there, but there. Amen. I like that. Somebody says we are here. So why did God establish the concept of the will of God? Number one, God supports what is his will. He supports it. He will help you. He will defend you. In times of discouragement, he will be your encouragement. In times of opposition, he will help you fight and overcome. God will help you. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
The will of God is not a straightforward course. There were battles that men of old fought. Men of old like David, they kept fighting battles, conquering nations until they destroyed the Jebusites. There were moments David was frustrated in Ziklag after the wives and children had been taken away, and David went back to God, shall I pursue? Will I overtake and will I recover all? And God said, yes, pursue, you will overtake and you will recover all. So there were moments of frustration just after the revelations of of God to Joseph, he was taken into slavery. And things happened that were discouraging until he ended up in prison. Things still happen. But God was Joseph's helper. Today I pray, may God help you. May God help you in your career. May God help you in your pursuit as you decide to follow the will of God for your life. So God will help you if you're in his will. Number two, God will provide for you. God will give you the finances. You may start a business with nothing. That's why the most successful business gurus will tell you that money is the least thing you need when you want to start a business. Money is the least thing you need. You need understanding to the field. You need where to situate yourself. You need how to start with nothing. And you need to know how to grow it and sustain it. And you need to know your market. You need to know your customers. And target your product to your customers. And by the time you realize, money is coming in. May you receive abundance of money. I said the will of God, God will sponsor you. He will finance you. He will provide it for you in the name of Jesus Christ. He will provide. He will give the provision for the vision. He will give the supplies for his will. Number three. God's will is the blueprint, and God guides you by the blueprint, so you are assured of his guidance. You are assured of his guidance in times of turbulence, in times of adversity, in times of difficulty, and in times when the circumstances are favorable. The Lord will guide you. The Lord will lead you. Everybody else may be doing the same business and they may be looking at one direction, but God will give you another small direction that will make a difference. That will make a difference. So that was number three. God's will is his blueprint, and by that he will guide you. Number four, God will give you fulfillment. You will have some satisfaction. There are people who are in other fields, but they are not happy. They are getting a lot of money, but they said, Reverend, I want to resign. It's not making me satisfied. Sometimes it's a good sign for you to enter the actual will. But other times, somebody thought that would be the thing that will make him happy. And the thing is not making him or her happy. Young women, it is naive to say when I enter into marriage, I will be happy. You must be happy. He must be happy before the two of you enter into marriage. You must be complete. She must be complete before the two of you enter into marriage. An unhappy man cannot make a happy marriage. And an unhappy woman cannot make a happy marriage. The man must be happy. If he's not happy, he wakes up, he has frowned. It's as if you are an excess baggage on him. You are encroaching upon his space. He doesn't want to see you. Your relatives have come. And what is this? And what is that? And the guy cannot tolerate you people. Because he's not a happy man. You go and ask him money small because some staff have run out in the kitchen. He will scream at you because he's not a happy man. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear more? A better amen. So the will of God, when you pursue it, there's always some satisfaction in your heart. You may not have arrived there, but you have fulfillment. You may not have achieved it, or the money may not even have come, but there's some confidence and satisfaction in your heart that the path on which you are is a path of blessing, and very soon it will manifest, it will appear. Oh, shout amen, shout amen. The final reason of importance of the will of God is in Matthew 25:23, part B says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." We are looking forward to one day at the end of age when Jesus would have appeared, or God would have called us into glory, that we shall be told, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things on earth. I will make you ruler over many things in heaven. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." May that be the testimony of God about you. Sometimes some people don't like to follow the will of God. They like to take the path of least resistance. They want a path that comes with quick money. But it is said that good long training, at the end of the day, there are fewer people in such categories. So there is a lot of work for you. You know why the accountancy exams are failing a lot of people, and why the law people will not pass many people the law school? It's because a few should enjoy. They have been talking, and they fail a lot of people. Church, you need to know the purpose, the will of God for your life. I remember as a young Christian, I heard a message like this concerning what God has called you for and how you must stick to it and pursue it, understand it, develop it, grow in it, experience it, and work it out. And some of us started praying. So we just started praying. You see, sometimes people accuse us of doing long prayers. We are seeking the will of God. We don't know it. It is in the hands of God. We want to understand it. So we are seeking it. There are professors today, they are good in mathematics, but they are very poor at the end of the day. Oh yes. Because there was something other, apart from being a professor in mathematics, that God would have liked them to do. They retire and their life is a mess. Especially when those invitations internationally don't come any longer. But the Bible says, "Mark a perfect man. His end is peace." One word for peace in the Hebrew is shalom. And in shalom is prosperity. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Look at the lives of some politicians. They work hard. When they are in office, their names are all over the place in the media, and they defend the position of their government, and they are moving up and down, doing all the dirty work. As soon as the administration is out of office and they are old, then some of them are very poor. That's when they go around churches and say, don't you know me? I was so and so for so and so constituency, and I was the minister of so and so, minister of Bola, and so and so. And don't you remember me? No, I don't remember you. Introduce yourself. But when you stay in the light of God's purpose and will, the thing you are pursuing will introduce you. Do you think anybody will have trouble knowing that I'm a counselor? No, that my field introduces me. I don't have to say former MP of Gidigago so and so constituency. Do you know Gidigago constituency? You have to find it. It's an assignment for you. There was a regional commissioner, I don't want to mention the region, that we knew, and I was working in an office, and we knew him before he became the minister of state. And he would come in very humble chat with us. But as soon as he became the minister of state, when he comes to the office, he doesn't look into your face. Is your boss there? Then we say, he's not. Where is he going? It's okay, tell him I came here. Then somehow, the administration was kicked out of office by Jerry John Rawlings. So they were not prepared. They had not planned for it. He had nothing. And after many years, now he'll come to the same office. Now look into your face directly and say, it's your boss there. Then in addition, say, oh, is Kinky sold around? I wish I could say no. Can you fetch me some Kinky? Make them give me plenty shito. Former regional minister. When God raises you, don't look down upon anybody. Because you don't know when you will come back to them. So when he came to the office, we all said, hey, we will go behind, hey, the corridor, hey, life. Then we come out, then we smile fine. So are you okay? You need water? Then we go back and say, hey, life, Panye. I knew that I was going to be a pastor before I went to the university. So then before I entered the university, I didn't go to university early enough. Just within that, I knew I was a teacher. So I never called myself a prophet. And I never called myself any other title. I've been a teacher since then. I also knew that amongst teachers, I was a traveling teacher, which means I have an evangelistic assignment. And today, God has confirmed his word in my life. Oh, come on, put your hands together. Put your hands together. Find what is the will of God for you and walk in it. Sometimes God will make you an auto mechanic so that you invest in other things, because a time will come your strength will not be able to tighten the bolts and the knots. He would want you to invest in an area where you don't need strength, but your brain and money works for you. Can I hear an amen? Be ye not unwise. I think that's Ephesians 5:18. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be foolish. Don't come to church and parade high, and do that and go away. Understand what the will of the Lord is for you. Abraham started at 75. You are not late yet. Help your children to discover their will early. Coach them. Guide them. Don't force anything on them. Don't say we need a lawyer in our house. We need a doctor in our house. No. Let the will of God be done. Jesus, whom God had appointed from heaven, they prayed for him. Men like Isaiah, Ezekiel, all some of those major and lesser prophets prayed for him until the time of Anna the prophetess and Simeon the prophet. They were praying for him. Pray for your words. Pray for your friends too. If they discover their will, some may touch you. The blessings that come out of it will touch your life. Somebody said, according to statistics, if you look at any groupings of persons, only 1/3 know the will of God for their lives. The rest of the 2/3 don't. Are you part of the 1/3 or part of the 2/3? May God help you become part of the 1/3. May this church be a church where majority know the will of God, over 90%. Oh, come on, put your hands together. You must know the will of God. Otherwise, you go and give birth here as a woman and jump to another and give birth and jump to another and give birth. Some may handle this and say that God has called them to sell nails. Then they move ahead. God has called them to sell oranges and they move. If you are selling, sell something, but be persevering. When you understand the will of God, nobody can retire you. Because God will make a plan for you that when you follow, you can never be retired. Oh, come on, shout amen, shout amen. The fact that you have will of God does not mean there will not be frustrations. There are frustrations. There are oppositions. There are moments you won't have money, but you are still in the will of God. Don't say, did I choose right or not? You are right if you are right. Do you know Jesus was walking with disciples and they were broke? Sir, Pastor, what are you saying? If he was not broke, he would not have sent Peter to the riverside to catch a fish and open the mouth, the first fish, and pick the coin, just a simple coin, and go and pay the tax. So to be broke is not a curse. David was so broke he couldn't buy bread to eat. He had to pretend he was mad and went into enemy territory to beg for bread. You broke small, then you say, God, did I go or did I come? You went. I am in the will of God. If there's anything more I should know, God will let me know. But I am in the will of God. I don't wake up doubting my God. No! And it is my calling, my office, that opens the doors for me. Whether they are local doors or international doors, it's the calling. It's the calling. It's the grace that is operating in the office. Lift up your right hand and say, I receive grace for my calling. Yes, yes. It's coming. Something will change in your life. I say something will change in your life. Something will change for the better. God will lead you, order your steps, guide you, bring you into the fullness of his perfect will. God will favor you. You are seeking for it. May you find it. May you discover the truth. May you find the will of God for your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Yesterday I sent out something and I got responses. I said, over the years, a good marriage is a product of the attitude and the mindset of the two people who are in the relationship. Over the years, a good marriage is a product of the attitudes and the mindset of the two people who are in it. Now let me bring it to a single person. Over the years, a successful person is a product of his attitudes and his mindset. I may not have the answer, but I believe God. Can I hear an amen? Oh, let me hear an amen. Come on, let me hear an amen. How many people believe that they are in the will of God? God is, yes, yes, yes. It's coming, it's coming. You may not have known it all, but it's coming. I say it's coming, it's coming. May you find the right partner. You may. Oh, I say, may you find the right partner. May you find the right vocation, the right business. May you, God situate you at the proper place where you can have all your clients, whether it's online or in a physical location. May God situate you well. May God direct the clients to come to you. May the harvest of your blessings be major. Brother, receive your miracle. I like that in Jesus' name. You people, you are not shouting. Quiet. Only no need your do what for. It's called Pablo. I'll be teaching the next part of it. That one, I don't want you to miss it. Bring your friends. Bring your colleagues. Listen to the word. I've never doubted I'm called. No, things will happen to you. You will feel that the dream you had, that the sun and the moon and the stars bowed down to you, was a lie. Things will happen to you, that Samuel's oil in the horn that it came to pour over you in your house in the presence of Jesse, you will doubt it. But I have no doubt. At least I'm preaching the gospel. Can I hear an amen? Don't have any shadow of doubt about the calling. And if you don't understand it yet, pursue it. If you don't know it yet, find out. And God will bring you to the place. I traveled recently.